sir. How you doing today, sir? Good, good. Seat, there's still people, you got a lot of people, they signed and everybody came in at different times, sometimes we got different seats, so. So Mr. Wigg, I'm gonna go over some information with you here before this board for absolute discharge, home arrest, regular parole. Is that your understanding, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you were in custody, you served a life sentence for first-degree murder, and then you had 2 4-year sentences for possessing selling narcotics. Is that your understanding?
That's correct.
Okay. Look at card information. I'm looking at it. It looks like you were granted parole on January 24th of 2018. However, it looks like you didn't get released until March 12th of 2018. Is that right?
No, that's not correct. If I'm not mistaken, it was April.
It was April?
Yes, sir. April 12th.
Okay, April 12th. Okay. Do you still stand at 2614 West Belmont?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And according to this report, all your tests have been negative. You haven't been delinquent on any of your fee payments. Is that... you remain in compliance with your conditions of release, you completed counseling, you maintain full employment with Upper Crust Bakery, prior to working at Upper Crust, you had full-time employment at Empire Metal Products, your weekly itineraries are all good with compliance, and since you have a very positive attitude, I also see that there's some letters attached from some of your employers that you actually have on here. In here, I'm going to go to your the incidents that you actually got incarcerated for. I'm just going to briefly go through it. It was something that occurred back in July of 1988 when you shot Ms. Tanya Lyons with a small caliber weapon while at 1106 West Buckeye Road. Look like both of y'all got something in common with Buckeye Road, huh? And then you were subsequently arrested and charged with that. She didn't die immediately. She later died in the hospital. Is that, you understand?
Yes, sir.
So, according to your AIMS report here that we actually have, how old are you now, sir?
49 years old.
49 years old?
Yes, sir.
So in July of 2018, your home arrest, you were violated. What happened there?
That was May of 2018.
Okay. So I'm looking. Okay, so what happened when, did you get violated?
Yes, sir.
And what happened?
I had a young lady spend the night at the halfway house.
Mm-hmm.
And that I was discharged. And due to the fact that I was on house arrest, I was taken back into custody. And I went before the panel to get revoked. My parole was revoked. However, I was released back on house arrest.
Okay. So how have you been doing since you've been on home arrest this last time, sir?
Since you asked me, I think it's been kind of exceptional.
Well, sir, I'm going to have to tell you, that's the first time I've had somebody say that. You've been exceptional. So what makes it so exceptional for you, sir?
I mean, I've done everything that my field asked me to do. I played the program that the board said I need 10 to, he directed me to go there, and I completed that program. That's the CAPS, the CAC. I've maintained employment. I have a better attitude than I did when I first came out. I've got into programs. I've connected with some positive individuals in my life. My fourth grade teacher, you know what I'm saying, Ms. Liv, Dr. Liv, she's been a positive influence on my life. I got engaged to a young lady. She's been a positive influence on my life, my family. I've had some ups and downs because all the major holidays, my mother has been in the hospital. Due to the fact I was able to go to her side, speaking with my parole officer, Mr. Adams. So, you know what I mean, that afforded me the opportunity to be at my mother's side. Other than that, you know what I'm saying, I just keep striving forward.
So how's work going for you? Do you have full-time employment? How's that work out for you?
I work graveyard shift at Upper Crescent Bakery, and also do some part-time work at a reliable and dependable car lot. Mm-hmm. That's lot attendant. It's been going quite well. No problems on either side.
So what do you do at the bakery, sir?
I'm sanitation. Mm-hmm. I squeegee the water. You know what I'm saying? Because we spray down with the water, the mixing area, and the depositors. And once they hit the ground, I have to squeeze it up. So sometimes I'll be squeezing water for like 7 hours. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's getting me kind of tone, I can say that.
So there's a letter that I put out here that is from the reliable and dependable auto sales, and everyone's speaking very highly of you, sir. So let me ask you something. So how do you feel about, first of all, where you stay at now, is that a house that's 2614 West Belmont? Number two, is that an apartment? Who do you stay there with?
All right. That is an extension of the halfway house.
Okay.
It's their three-quarter program, which I've been in now since I was re-released in August the 29th. Give or take a few days. A week later, they put me in the three-quarter spot, mm-hmm. and I maintained that position by doing good. Keeping up my fees. At first, my mother, you know what I'm saying, helped me out with my fees. But since I have my employment, I've taken over that responsibility. I just stay there with a couple of other roommates.
Okay, so you say that you got engaged. So when do you plan on getting married, or you just haven't set a date?
The date is June 27th.
You need to look back there to get it right.
Pardon?
You need to look back there so you can get it right.
No. We discussed that several times.
All right, so I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions for you. Additional questions coming from the board. So you do have several people here. I don't know, is everybody going to speak, or is anybody going to speak? Okay, so why don't you go ahead and have a seat. Whoever's going to speak, just come up to the podium, just say your name, come up in the order that you choose. We don't have any particular order, so.
Hello, my name is Antroy Turner. My father, he's a good dad since he's been home 8 months. He got to meet his granddaughter for the first time. And she loves him, we love him. It's finally good to see my dad home, doing things with his family. I'm just happy to have him here.
we love to do things more with him, but he can't really do anything. Like, he can't come to the family function because he's not out in the home, inside the home. And it's kind of like hard for us, but we deal with it because we love him. We visit him more often. He's a good grandfather. Like, he loves his granddaughter. They bond is just so crucial. But, you know, he's a good man. Everybody makes mistakes, but his mistake was what he did was he probably didn't mean to, but he made his mistakes. And he returned, recovered from the mistakes because now he deals with the family that supports him more. He was just a hothead back then. Now he got a head on his shoulders. And we appreciate that.
Ms. Turner, the board have any questions? Thank you, Ms. Turner. Are you done? Yes.
Do I give my name?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm Darlene Little. I am, or was, Kenny's fourth grade teacher. And I will say I've been in education a very long time, 35 years, and I can tell early kids are going to be in trouble. And Kenny was one of those. He used to tell me that he was afraid. I don't know if I can say this. That he was afraid of being at home by himself because I think his mother had to work at night and so he stayed at home by himself. I brought Kenny to my house a couple of times because I just felt that he needed some support. But my daughter, just to make a long story short, my daughter is about Kenny's same age. And since I was the only African American teacher at the school and I had very few African American students, certainly we did bond. So I would bring my daughter to school periodically and she became very familiar with all the African American kids who were in my class and kept up with them pretty much. And I think she and Kenny were Facebook, well before Facebook even came out. They were friends and she kept up with all of them. And when Kenny got out, she called me and said, Kenny Yeager is out and he would like to connect with you if you are willing. And certainly I was willing. I like to keep up with all of my kids and see what they're doing, even if it was fourth grade. I still have kids that I keep up with and who keep up with me. But I will say that Kenny really has worked hard. He does some volunteer work. I've retired from education, but I'm now the executive director of Tanner Community Development Corporation, which is a nonprofit social service organization. And he comes and volunteers. He comes and meets with me. And we talk about real life and what he's going to be doing and not doing, how he's going to change his life and what he's going to do. And I think that he's in a place to do that. He has lots of supports. My daughter, who was a criminal lawyer and a lawyer for many years now, is a policy person at with the Democratic Party House of Representatives. And she also keeps up with him. And so he has a good support system, a very good one. And so I think that he will do well.
Okay, let me see if the board had any questions. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Marcus Kelly Brew. I'm a longtime friend of Mr. Yeager. And I'm a minister ordained. And he calls me, you know, when bring him back down. When you get too high, when you get anxiety, you need someone positive right there to speak what you need to hear, you know. Like I said, this is one of my close friends. And whatever I have to do to make sure he stays straight, I'm willing to do. You know, God saved me for a reason. I could have easily been on the other side. But he saved me for this purpose, to help those that just need to talk. You know, and I just thank you all for the opportunity to have him back out here with his family. You know, with those that need him. Thank you.
Okay, so let me see if the board has any questions. All right, thank you, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
divorced Penn, Kenny's grandmother by marriage. And I think I spoke before on his behalf. I've seen a lot in his change since he's been out, which I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to be seeing. But I do know that there is a change in him. He seems to want to do more for the family, which I wish he could, because they did speak on behalf of his mother. She's been in the hospital 3 times since November. And it's been on me to do everything for her. And he's wanted to do more, but by him being on the monitor and everything, he couldn't see after her like he would have wanted to. So that's one of my things I think he should be able to do, to help her a little more, because she misses him. And there's a, I hate to say this, but she lives in an area that he cannot come to. So we have to take her to see where he is. And then by her being under the type of condition she is, it's kind of hard for her to do it as of right now, although she's getting better. But him wanting to help us more, I think would help him more. That way he would pick up more of the responsibility on his mother's behalf. Thank you.
Do we have any questions? Thank you.
Okay.
Good morning, my name is Edgar Hardwick. I'm there down the street from this young man. I'm handicapped. I got arthritis in both my hands, and I also have three dislocated discs in another part of my back. The first day I met him, I really didn't even know him. And I was doing some big things, moving some stuff in my apartment, and he just volunteered. And ever since that day, we've been like where he is now. He's like a little brother to me because I'm older than him. I got a lot of love for this man because he has shown me in so many ways what a person is supposed to do when he come home. He's not the type of person that hangs on the streets. He goes to work, spends time with his family, and he comes home. Every time I see him walking down the street after he even got off the bus, I'd be like, man, I can't do that. I can't ride no buses. So I had a car, so I told him anytime he needed to go somewhere, just let me know, and I'd take him. But he never came up to me for that favor yet. So that let me know that he cares more about me than he do himself. Because if I was him, I'd tell him, hey, man, I need to go here. But at the same time, I found out that he's not allowed to drive because of that reason. And do I think that anger person needs to come off? Yes, I do. That'll give him more freedom to the point where he can do the things that he needs to do for his family and also be there for his mother. Because I hate it if I was to lose my mother. I'm not from Arizona. I'm from Chicago. I think that if you guys was to give him an opportunity to prove himself to you guys, you'll find out that everything that everybody else has been seeing from him since he's been home. At the same time, he was a young man when he went in, but he's a grown man now since he came home. Have he learned from his mistakes? Everybody's gonna make mistakes, but at the same time, he hasn't learned from it. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir. The board have any questions? Thank you. Okay, if there's no one else that's going to speak, then we're going to go ahead and ask the parole officer if he would come up at this time. Mr. Adam.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mark Adams with the Electronic Monitoring Unit for State Parole. So normally, I would tell you guys the same thing. If you guys have any questions, feel free to ask. You guys have my report. I'm very dry. Two things I want to talk about with Mr. Yeager. You mentioned exceptional. Maybe I don't agree with exceptional, but he has done very well. The first time he got released, he was not ready to be out in society. He knew it. I knew it. It was just a matter of time. Him being violated and going back to prison was the catalyst for change that he needed. So his mentality on this supervision, this home arrest, has been extremely different just in that short amount of time. Where his head is at has been different, and that's what's led to all of his success, finding employment. And then finding better employment, because he wasn't thrilled about the employment that he had. He went out and found those, you know, with some help of some resources, but he went out and found those. And of course, he did counseling, and he's gone through all of the steps and all of the requirements to progress through home arrest, as we didn't expect him when he first got released. So, although not exceptional, he has done very well.
What are the questions of Ms. Adams? Okay, thank you, sir.
Well,
okay, Mr. Yeager, you want to come back up here? So we're going to come up on a conclusion of your hearing. The board's going to go into discussion, but prior to the board going into discussion to conclude your hearing, is there anything else you'd like to say before this board, sir?
Yes, I'd like to say it. The only reason why I'm asking for getting a road. Give me a minute.
So while the board's in discussion, I'm going to ask you just to remain silent, everyone to remain silent. We'll make a decision whether to grant or deny you parole, sir. And after we made that decision, I'll have you come back to the podium and you'll get the result, but you'll be able to hear the discussion taking place amongst the board, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, the board's now going into discussion. We've had the opportunity to hear from Mr. Yeager along with his supporters, as well as to also hear from parole officer, Mr. Adams. At this time, I have no objection to granting Mr. Yeager regular parole and denying an absolute discharge. That's my opinion, but I am willing to listen to the rest of the colleagues at this time. Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. I agree with you. I do want to just mention for the record that we have a lawyer from the Maricopa County Attorney dated March 14th, 2019, that does object to any release. But I think given the circumstances, the fact that Mr. Yeager has been compliant while on supervision and has the issues to address with his mother's health, I think I think he could be given a chance. Thank you, sir.
Saying no, did you have something?
No, I was just going to say it, me, sir.
Okay, saying no other comments coming from the board, then I am going to make a motion to grant Mr. Yeager general parole and deny him an absolute discharge or regular parole at this time. That would be my motion, and then I will go over the conditions after that.
To restate that motion.
Yeah, please do.
Restate your motion, it wasn't quite right. Restate it.
Okay, I am going to make a motion to grant Mr. Yeager regular parole, deny him an absolute discharge or home arrest.
Yes, sir.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, second by Ms. Rittenhouse. Agreed, Mr. Quinones, Mr. Carroll, and Dr. Wright. Granting regular parole, denying home arrest or an absolute discharge. I'm going to mark down for the conditions. That he has to follow our mandatory DOC conditions, examining exception needs assessments, referral to counseling and vocational, no alcohol use, random tests for drugs and alcohol. I'm not going to, Mike, I'm going to go ahead and give him the opportunity to operate a motor vehicle. No contact with victim family. If there's any restitution, that he has to pay that. And that he has to partake in any available programming as directed by his counselor. That would be that he also has continue with a $65 monthly fee. So if he's continuing, we just put after 30 days or just continue?
Continue.
Okay, Mr. Yeager?
Yes, sir.
You want to come back up here? So the board has voted to go ahead and grant you a home arrest, grant you regular parole. Okay, so you will be on regular parole. You still will be under the home arrest and have to monitor until the arraignments are made with your parole officer to remove those items. So you still will do that, okay?
Yes, sir.
So I want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity to appear before this board. I do want to say one thing that I heard your grandmother say, that where your mother lives may be an area that you can't go into while you're on home arrest. If it is something you can do while you're on parole, sir, let me just tell you, you know, you come way too far to go backwards, all right?
Yes.
So where your mother lives, it's easy to go back and fall down that ladder. But you know, you come way too far, you have a job, you engage, you're gonna be getting married, you know, you come from home arrest and prison, home arrest, and now you're on regular parole, you're in a progression stage that you would do it. But I wanna encourage you that if you go back over there and you visit your mother,
yes,
to not let yourself get caught up. There's so many people that come back before this board, and the only thing that they have to say to is that I just got with some friends. And that was it. I mean, we hear that probably the majority of the time, that people say they just got with some friends and they went down the wrong track and it was all downhill from there, man. So you have to take in consideration to try not to. You go in there to do the things that you said, to, you know, work with your mom and do what you can for your mom, but not to go down and get with friends and go down the wrong path. You take it and keep in your mind that you still have a lifetime parole situation that you have to deal with. If you get violated, then you're going back.
Right.
You okay?
Yes.
So I'm just saying that because, you know, we hear so many times, and so it's easy to go see some old friends and get back with them, and then next thing you know, you're going down the wrong track. So please try not to go down there, brother. We want to wish you the best of luck and continued success, okay?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time.
Thank you.